Welcome to the Multifamily Wealth Podcast. I'm your host, Axel Ragnarsson, and on this show, I dissect how seasoned multifamily investors started, built, and scaled their businesses. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another quick solo episode here on the Multifamily Wealth Podcast. In this episode, I'm going to be deviating from the normal format as it relates to sharing kind of educational updates. And this episode is going to be a little bit more current events oriented as it relates to what's going on in the real estate market right now. Recording this the first week of April 2024. And I'm also going to share some updates as it relates to our actual real estate business, Aligned Real Estate Partners, which is something I'm asked by a lot of listeners to do on a more regular basis because people just want to know what we're working on and what we're seeing in the marketplace and, you know, just develop a deeper insight into what's going on behind the curtain. So I'm going to share some updates as it relates to our actual real estate business and then talk about some of the things that we're seeing in the market right now. Given the fact that we're going out there, we're doing a lot of marketing, we're speaking with a lot of sellers, we're making a lot of offers, and we have some level of insight into specifically New England, right, as a real estate market. And I can kind of speak at a high level to other markets as well. So the first things first, let's start with some business updates. Looking backwards at quarter one 2024, I want to share kind of a quarterly update so far this year. Compare that to what we were doing the last two quarters of 23 to provide a trend of what's going on within our business. And I think that's a little representative of what's going on in the market as well. And then we're going to share what we're seeing in the market. I'm going to share. So first things first, so far in 2024, in Q1, we closed 37 units. And this is between eight properties and over six deals, right? So we basically did six deals. A lot of small smaller multifamily, I should say, not even small to midsize, just smaller multifamily, and closed six deals so far. One of them was a small portfolio deal of three properties. So for a total of eight buildings, and that's a total of 37 units. And we're currently under contract right now. We're scheduled to close in Q2, a 13 unit portfolio, a 19 unit portfolio, and a small three unit deal. Now, over half of these properties were sourced direct to seller. We're still having success going direct to seller for these kind of small to mid-sized deals. So we're staying very active right now from a deal standpoint. We're doing a high number of deals. Now, granted, a lot of these deals are smaller in terms of what we would like to be doing. We'd like our deals to be 20, 25 plus units. So a lot of these are smaller, but we're kind of taking what the market's giving us right now. And we're not trying to force anything. And it just so happens that a lot of the opportunity that we're finding just happens to be direct to seller, as it usually is. And we've just naturally found a lot of smaller properties to actually put under contract and buy. So how does that compare to what we did in 2023? Because I get that question a lot. So for reference, in quarter four of 2023, we just did one single deal. And it was a six unit deal. It was in Providence, Rhode Island. It was a new market for us. That was a direct to seller deal. But we also assigned one deal as well. It was a small multifamily property. It was nine units. We assigned a deal to another investor. So we didn't close it, but technically we did two deals in 2023 Q4. So obviously a really big jump in the first quarter of in 24, right? Did I say Q4 of 23? If not, that's what I meant to say. Just one deal. And then we jumped to doing six in Q1 of 24. Now, if we go back even farther into 2023, quarter two, which is July, August, September, we did four deals. Two of them were slightly larger. We had a 23 unit and a 45 unit that was a joint venture with another individual in that marketplace. And those deals have been going extremely well. So it was four deals for a total of 76. We had a 23, a 45, a three, and a six unit. And the three and the six unit were both direct to seller. So two bigger deals that kind of juiced those stats there, but a smaller number of deals than what we're doing right now and what we're probably going to do in quarter two of this year. So all of that is to say that we see deal velocity picking up. We're having more success going direct to seller. We're getting much closer on the offers that we are making to sellers. Even the deals that we aren't putting under contract, we're still getting closer as it relates to the seller's price coming closer to ours. And fundamentally speaking, we're just having more productive conversations with owners. Now, I think this is exciting because obviously it was really hard to do deals in 23. And if I were to back up even farther into the first two quarters of 23, we did no deals. The first deal we did in 2023 was in July. So we did nothing the first 6 months, four in quarter three, and then one in quarter four. So five all year. And this year we're on pace to significantly exceed that. So we're on pace right now to do probably double what we did last year. And a lot of the deals that we've done have been smaller. So if we just pick off a couple of larger ones, we're certainly going to hit that pace. And we're buying deals that we find to be compelling at today's pricing. Although what I will say is that it is still a little bit nerve-wracking in the sense that when you start getting closer and when sellers' numbers start coming closer to yours, you have a moment of clarity, or a little bit of a moment of doubt where you're looking to gain clarity around what the market's doing, right? Where it's almost like, okay, they're starting to come down. We're almost getting properties under contract, but that does that mean the market is moving faster than what our offer and it faster than, you know, our underwriting criteria is moving? And so we've been trying to thread that needle this year. And long story short, we still feel extremely comfortable with our underwriting criteria, primarily as it relates to underwriting deals to a yield on cost that still exceeds the interest rate of the mortgage that we're taking on, the debt that we're taking on, and still exceeds the market cap rate. So we have positive leverage and we're creating value through renovations. We're also buying properties at discounted pricing to current market value. So price per units that are less than what that property would trade for if publicly marketed today. And that's consistently what we're coming back to when we're looking at deals. And I think that pricing is finally starting to come down, at least in the market that we buy in, which is New Hampshire. And we underwrite deals in Southern Maine and Northern Rhode Island very frequently. You know, our offering on deals in those markets, we just happen to be doing the vast majority of our deals in New Hampshire, which is where we're, you know, our home base is. And I think it's just a function of that market is finally starting to really adjust to what interest rates are doing. And it was lagging behind a lot of what the rest of the country was doing, specifically the Southeast and the Southwest, really the high supply markets, you know, the big cities in Texas, for example, because there wasn't a lot of supply added, because rents were still growing, because NOI was still growing. And therefore, pricing was still remaining fairly strong. And while pricing hasn't really continued to grow, it's kind of flatlined over the last couple of years. But now I finally think it's coming back a little bit as the market really settles into a higher interest rate environment. And I don't think that there are as many investors who believe that interest rates are going to be cut in 2024 as there was last year. I think a lot of the marketplace is accepting that the current interest rate environment is probably what's going to be into 2025 and maybe even beyond that. So I think pricing expectations are finally coming down. So that's what we're kind of seeing in our market right now and how we're looking at deals. And I think it's generally good news for our investors because we're uncovering more opportunities. And it's last year we were kind of frustrated because the market hadn't really reacted and that bid-ask spread, as everybody talks about on podcasts, was still really wide. But I think it's starting to narrow down now. We're starting to see the fruits of our labor as it relates to building our deal pipeline. Now, I also want to talk about what we're seeing from a lending perspective. All of the deals that we buy are financed by local banks and local credit unions, with exceptions of a few where we still kind of go the bridge route. And those are typically deals I'm doing with a smaller group of investors that are okay taking on that type of debt risk. But the vast majority of deals that we raise investor capital for, if not all of them, are financed with local banks or local credit unions. And we're starting to see that the debt market tighten up on that side quite a bit. We're seeing banks just really rely on relationships and experience as it relates to the borrowers that they work with. A lot of the banks that we're working with, they're not necessarily interested in taking on new business as it relates to working with just new real estate investors or with even new borrowers that they don't have a relationship with. And now, obviously, some banks are and plenty of banks are, but there are some that we see that just if they are bidding on deals or providing term sheets to investors who they don't have a relationship with, it's just not necessarily a competitive term sheet, right? So I think relationships are critical as it relates to working with local banks and credit unions right now. And deals are becoming more and more debt constrained as rates stay higher, especially value-add deals that don't necessarily have a lot of in-place income. And we're typically buying deals loan-to-cost where we're financing a percentage of the purchase price and the renovations, and we're sizing to a percentage of ARV or stabilized value. But even those deals are a little bit trickier to get done right now. We're seeing banks ask for larger interest rate reserves than they maybe have in the past, or just trying to maintain larger deposit balances at their bank. That's not something we saw a lot of in 2020, 21, 22. We're seeing a lot of deposit requirements in terms of a minimum balance in an operating account held at the bank through the life of the loan that actually materially affects the equity that needs to be brought to the table. So debt market is certainly tightening up, and that's definitely affecting pricing. And we're starting to see that happen more significantly now than we did kind of early last year. And so this started to happen second half of 23 and really into 24. We're actually seeing the debt landscape change materially, specifically for those that don't necessarily have the required experience to build new relationships with new lenders. Those people are having a harder time getting deals done right now. Now, lastly, we notched a really big win for a small portfolio deal that we closed in late 22. We bought 23 units. It was an off-market deal. Bought it with a JV partner in late mid-December of 2022. And in January of 24, so quarter one, a few months ago, just 13, 14 months into that deal, we sold one of the properties in that portfolio, did extremely well on it, created all kinds of value throughout that first year. And we were able to deliver back 83% of original invested equity in that deal, which obviously greatly exceeds projections. We projected maybe we'd be able to deliver 40, 50% back in the first 18 months, 83% in 12, 13 months, when most other deals, actually, that's disingenuous. I shouldn't say most other deals. Many other deals that LPs were investing in that were syndicated by individuals in other markets, right? Southeast, Southwest, were struggling along the same time period. And we were able to notch a massive win for our LPs. So that was a great win. It's always great to have something like that on the track record to share with new investors. And I think that summarizes kind of what we're seeing in the marketplace right now, both on the debt side, on the deal side, and then what we're actually doing in our business. And I like sharing this because I don't necessarily share what we're doing in our business that often on the podcast, but it's nice to actually reflect on it, to share it, because it lends, I think, a little bit of credibility as to just me talking on here and sharing what we're doing. So with these last 37 units, in the last 9 months, we've done about 125 or so units in total volume closed. In the next 2 months, we're probably going to be up into we're going to be a little over the 150 mark. And throughout this year, we're on pace to do a couple hundred units. And that's probably going to be over 12 to 15 individual deals at minimum is what we're projecting to do this year. So a lot of those deals we're going to be raising LP capital for and syndicating. We're probably going to do another 3 deals this year, maybe 4 that we raise LP capital for. Again, since our focus is this small to mid-size sector of the marketplace, and we're finding these really discounted deals and we're putting these together with really compelling terms for LPs, they fill up quickly. So if you're someone who's listening that isn't on our email list, go check out the show notes. I'm going to have a link in there to actually sign up for our email list. You're going to get dropped on the list and receive some emails. And if you'd like to book a call, you could always do so at that point as well to learn a little bit more about what we're working on and what we're doing. But I hope you found this episode insightful as it relates to how you should be approaching the market right now, and maybe as a reframe to getting back on the horse and actually really starting to build that deal pipeline. Because I think it's getting a little bit easier to find deals right now than it has been the last 12 months, which is great for the active folks out there and great for LPs that want to take advantage of what's going on in the marketplace. So if you enjoyed this, please consider leaving the show a 5-star rating and review. Coming up on 275 reviews on Apple Podcasts, which is a massive milestone. So if you haven't already left a review and you've learned something in any episode of this podcast, I would appreciate it if you take the 5-10 seconds to just scroll down in your podcast player there and just give the episode a rating, or I should say the podcast a rating. But again, thank you all for listening as always, and I'll catch you guys on the next episode.